Hello and welcome to the Industry Relations Podcast. This is the notorious Rob Hahn. I'm here with Greg Robertson.
Hola.
How you doing, Greg?
Good. Your voice sounds better.
Well, I mean, it's going to continue to suck, I think, for a while.
I'm so glad I went to bed last night. This is great.
You know what? Here's the thing. The best stories, the best experiences all start with a series of poor decisions. So...
Well, speaking of poor decisions, we're going to talk about, I guess, the state of organized real estate, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it'd be interesting to just talk about where we stand kind of at a high level. And I know you were going to go in the other direction when you said, speaking of poor decisions, you know, the inauguration is going to be coming.
Yeah.
The Trumpening is going to happen, Greg.
It is. It's happening. It's happening pretty soon, right?
It's happening pretty soon.
Yeah. Tomorrow,
as we record here. Yeah, I don't think I want to be anywhere out and about in the streets of New York or DC, actually.
Yeah,
this city might be empty, actually, because everyone will be down in DC, marching and protesting.
That's a sad state of affairs, where they're protesting the inauguration instead of walking with him in that. But I mean, think about it. I mean, you have some interesting stuff going on there with, there's a real estate developer who has become, you know, president of the United States. So on the surface of that, you think that, okay, well, there's something interesting there that maybe a person with that perspective is going to help with housing, right? And then the next thing he does is his choice for the,
Secretary of Housing and Urban Development
is?
Dr. Ben Carson.
Brain surgeon.
He was actually my choice for the actual presidency.
Oh, he was your...
Early in the primary season.
So you liked him a lot.
I was a huge fan of Ben Carson.
You didn't get to see all the testimony there.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. We got stuff going on in our actual lives.
But I mean, your whole choice, I thought, was Spencer Raskoff, right? That's who you wanted.
That was my prediction. Uh-huh. Not to say a choice. I don't have any power over that.
Right.
But last year when I wrote it, I mean, look, who the hell thought, Donald, who? What?
Right, yeah.
So I figured Hillary is going to win. And in the Clinton administration, Spencer Raskoff made perfect sense as Secretary of HUD.
But I mean, I think he's more of a Trump choice. I mean, he's a billionaire or close to it. So
I don't know.
All the cabinet's full of billionaires. So you might as well throw one for HUD.
Ben Carson's not.
Right? Well, that's what I mean, he's,
Plus, as a very wealthy West Coast LA liberal, you should know, that. the Clinton... Democrats have become party of billionaire oligarchs and the dirt poor welfare recipients. I mean, you guys don't care about the middle class.
You guys, you're calling me that. I'm the rich West Coast. I don't even know if there's an acronym for that.
Oh, man. So let's just caveat this, right? Uh-huh. And I literally left the Republican Party when they nominated Trump. So I don't feel like I'm speaking like some partisan, thing here. So let's caveat it by saying we don't actually know. No one can actually predict what Trump is going to do, right?
Unpredictable as hell.
Right. So anything that we sort of think or say about it may just be whatever. But having said that, I do think that Trump would be good for housing in the following sense. You're right. He's a real estate developer, right? He knows construction. And he ran on a platform that said, working class, middle class jobs. Dude, a huge part of that is construction, right? I mean, a big, big chunk of it. Yes.
Infrastructure.
Right. He talked a lot about manufacturing. Okay, yeah, manufacturing is good. But we also know that a big, big chunk of that blue collar workforce is construction.
Well, you're going to build that wall. That's a lot of construction. The wall, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Whether it's airports, he complained about New York City airports. So I feel like in order for him to deliver on that promise, he's going to have to undertake
building. So more government spending.
More government spending on construction.
Man.
Right? Look, the guy is not in fiscal – whatever. So I do think that does change things, right? I think – and keep in mind, a lot of the problems right now in the housing market have to do with affordability. So one of the causes of affordability is simply not building enough. I mean, CAR has come out – for years talking about, California's affordability crisis because we're not building enough houses. Who knows what the myriad reasons. We do know local regulations have a lot to do with it. I could see maybe the Trump administration kind of leaning on the states and locals to ease up, right? And start allowing more building permits or whatever it is. So I think that could be really interesting. Now, who the hell knows, you know, whether they'll actually do it or not. It's sort of interesting. You know? Yeah. And what do you think? How do you see it playing out?
I don't know. I mean, like I was looking at the, when they were doing the testimony or the confirmation hearings for Dr. Carson and, you know, the run up, you know, they played the video package of like, it was like some astronomical amount, like $50 billion is that budget for what he controls or will control. And a lot of that is public housing, right?
Right.
And some of his comments kind of contradicted each other, as I can imagine those people are very skillful at asking questions in different ways to kind of trip people up or just at least confuse them. He's got, you know, I think it's a tough time right now. And this whole new administration coming in, it's just so bizarre and different from everything that we've ever seen. I don't think you can't predict what Trump is going to do, but I don't think you can predict what a lot of his cabinet is going to do either, right?
Well, I mean, some of the appointments like Steve Mnuchin, right, and Carson, some of them have said things like we need to cap or eliminate the mortgage interest deduction. We have heard things like that. So
yeah, you've been beating that drum for like 10 years now, dude. It still hasn't happened.
Well, I mean, we'll find out, right? It's like I'm beating the drum like it needs to go. It's like, hey, the MID has no friends, right? Neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are particularly fond of it. But obviously, NAR, right?
Yeah, no,
huge lobbying muscle, and they've always made that one of their big, big priorities. All right, I mean, we'll find out, right? I mean, NAR is not going anywhere, right? It's still very powerful. It's still, you know, top five lobby, I think, in Washington, D.C. So, you know, they'll probably fight it and they'll do something.
You know, it's like just a really quick segue on that. I mean, yeah. I've written about this on my blog, Vendor Alley, but everybody should go listen to this podcast. It's put out by Andreessen Horowitz.
Mm-hmm.
And their kind of like way of talking about it is like, you know, financial tech or fintech. And this recent podcast was talking about like real estate, right? And financing.
Right.
And this is kind of almost the best argument I've heard about and for possibly getting rid of like Freddie Fannie and the mortgage interest deduction. And the premise is, and that you got to listen to the whole podcast, but if you want to live somewhere, you basically have two options, right? You can rent where you have zero ownership, or you can buy where you have 100% ownership.
Right.
And having 100% ownership in 300% of your net worth, right, is like insane. It goes against every rule of diversification that's out there.
Okay.
Why can't you own 80%? Why can't you own 75%? Because right. there's investors out there that would come in there, and what it would do, it would be, besides these boom and bust kind of markets, you could even those out, because now you have the financial community who's also going to be part of the load there. So it would help people get into homes because it would be cheaper because they wouldn't have to buy the 100% thing. But also the financial markets are also very, you know, invested in what's going on there. So the risk is spread out within a whole lot of people. But the problem is that, you know, the mortgage interest deduction and all these things are really basically just subsidies of, you know, insurance plans in a way that are really kind of driving that, you know, that kind of model of mortgages out there, right?
Right.
Fascinating. You know, if you get a chance, I would really listen to that because that kind of blew my mind.
I'll definitely go take a look. Yeah. I mean, I know Andreessen Horowitz or I think Andreessen, it was, I think it was those guys, Andreessen, right? They talked about a company called Point, which is talking about exactly this fractional equity ownership model for financing. So they would – now, the interesting thing is, of course, they only take minority positions, right? They don't take, you know, 70% equity position,
right?
It's more like you're going to bring 20% down payment, you're going to finance 70%, and we're going to take 10%. You know, but it still lowers the amount that you have to finance. Right. So there's some benefits there.
So this good to me is another good segue into like, there's a lot going on, right? And then there's, you know, Open Door has a different model.
That's right.
I don't want to go into that kind of thing, but
we will talk about those guys.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But to me, it's a time here, a new administration.
Yep.
These financial models are out there. Real estate, you know, we're just after the Great Recession, and NAR has to choose
a new CEO.
A new CEO.
That's correct. Right.
And there's been a lot of hubbub on here. Like, you know, everybody's got opinions on that.
Right. And you've made yours pretty clear.
No, I think right now, absolutely, I mean, I'll own up to it.
Hashtag Goldberg.
Yeah,
I mean, Goldberg.
I'll cop to that, right? I think Bob's a competent guy. I think he's been there for a long time. He knows the ins and outs. And I think you need that kind of leader right now while all this stuff is going on. But not to say that there, you know, there's other candidates out there. But I mean, in this time right now, I think you need somebody who's been there and done that and seen what's going on, right? Some of the stuff I read online is a lot of based upon, you know, this is primarily an industry that's has a very, you know, strong female component, right? So a lot of people think that the leader should be a female, right?
Me, for example.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
hashtag NAR girl boss. I mean, yeah.
Is that really a hashtag now?
Yeah.
Who came up with that?
A bunch of folks, you know, a bunch of women, but I'm supporting their efforts. So, yeah, I think it's a thing. Right?
So, what are the candidates in
Well, so, before you even get into that, I mean, so here's the interesting thing. Like, I don't really know Bob Goldberg, right? I've met him, you know, he was always nice to me. Seems like a real great guy. You know, been in some meetings where he was there, but it wasn't like he and I have had, like, we worked together or
right.
And I have a whole lot of interaction with the guy. So, I got nothing against Bob. You know, he's probably
right.
awesome.
Right.
I mean, you probably know him better than I do. The only thing I will say, even before getting into the girl boss, as you know, that whole woman CEO thing, and I don't know if you're seeing the same thing. When I go travel the country and I'm talking to associations and realtor leaders and those people, there is a strong sense that Bob would be Dale Stinton 2.0, right? And I don't know if that's more controversial, I think. There's more conflict there within the ranks of organized real estate than we'd think.
So again, what's the story or narrative of Dale Stinton that they're afraid of repeating?
There are a lot of folks in the association world that aren't huge fans of Dale.
It's like any leader's got. I mean, that's part of the job, man. You're not going to make everybody happy.
Yeah, I'm not. I got no problem with Dale. Like Dale, I've actually spoken to Dale. I've actually worked with, and again, that's was fine. I think he's actually a lot more interesting and a lot more of a revolutionary than people give him credit than people think.
I think anybody that knows Bob and Dale, I mean, they're different people. So I don't know how I think anything they're saying it's going to be a 2.0 thing. They're just different.
You know what? People. It'd be interesting to get some audience feedback on this. I'm just relating what I hear,
right?
What I see, that there is a resistance to Bob because people perceive him as Dale 2.0.
You see, I would say in the same circles, I wouldn't put it the way you're putting it.
Okay.
How I would put it, it wouldn't be like a Dale Stinton 2.0. It's just, I would put it as a general, more of the same. Is a feeling that maybe people have.
I guess.
I wouldn't say to a personality, but I would say, okay, well, another guy who's been at the association for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is
but
more,
it's the,
more
it's
the vibe
hand,
I get.
It's the hand-picked successor idea, right? And so it sort of depends. So, for example, if you loved 8 years of Obama, then Hillary sort of coming out saying, look, I'm going to continue that was probably a big, you know, plus. If you hated 8 years of Obama, then Hillary saying, well, I'm going to continue that is a no-go. On the Republican side, same thing, right? When Ronald Reagan, you know, he's done. And George, you know, the first George Bush is like, I'm going to continue that. It's a huge plus. So I think that's how it is. It depends on how you perceive it. I'm just relating that within the association ranks, you know, that I travel, that there's resistance to Stinton 2.0.
Right.
So I think that's number one. Now, having said that, again, like, you know Bob better than I do. I've really personally have never had huge issues with Dale. There are some things that I, you know, I don't particularly care for, but it's like associations in general, right?
Right.
And on the general and the whole, let's face it, they've been very, very powerful lobby and sort of done the advocacy part, I think, you know, more or less very, very successfully. So you got to look at it that way. Having said that, I don't know. I mean, if the country is going to go through this like massive change as a result of technology, you know, obviously the Trumpening, the whole thing is
Trumpening. I just love that. The Trumpening is here.
The Trumpening is here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is continuing what NAR has been for the last, you know, however many years, is that really what we need? Right. So that's number one. I don't know. I think that's an open
question. Don't know if you want anybody in there just learning on the job either, right? I mean, you know, you got to have somebody in there that knows how the thing works.
And how what works though, right? How what works, like how NAR works, you know? Because then under that kind of idea, you can never bring in anybody from the outside. And sometimes what you need is a perspective from the outside.
No, it's right? A good point. I mean, I think any leader is going to try to find those qualities in the people right. that he surrounds or she surrounds herself with that are going to give him or her, you know, that perspective.
Right? Or the other perspective might be, as a leader, you can be from the outside as long as your lieutenants have, you know, sort of industry knowledge or subject matter expertise. Because as a leader, then what really counts is your judgment, right, is your personnel, your ability to attract the right types of people. So I don't know. I keep that in mind. That's one thing. And I don't envy the selection committee for, you know, work they're going to have to do. The strongest argument, though, for, you know, maybe making a change now is, and this is why I'm sort of behind it, I do feel like, yeah, look, Realtor Associates, you know, the industry was 65%, 70% women.
I thought it was closer. I think it was like 52% or 53%.
Really? I always thought it was much, much higher.
Yeah. We can check.
But I mean, you know that the average realtor is a 58-year-old female.
Right.
Right.
That's true.
And over its 100 plus year history, there's never been a female CEO of NAR. Never. I'm like, okay. Obviously, in the 30s and 40s, that's going to be really, really impossible to imagine. But it just feels like 2017, you know, isn't the time? Like, shouldn't we have at least looked at, you know? So, you know, if it ends up that Bob or some other, you know, male, right, is you and me both being men, is selected because they're the most qualified, great. But I just feel like there are a lot of really qualified women leaders in the industry that I think, you know, really the committee should at least take a real strong look at.
So who are, I mean, on that was a hashtag what?
Hashtag NAR Girl Boss.
Is there a list, a formal list out?
No. Right. I suspect, you know, it'll start getting put together. But, you know, the names get thrown out, right?
What names have you heard?
I've heard Pam O'Connor, right? Mm-hmm. Leading RE. Because she's right there in Chicago. I've heard Ginger Downs, you know, Chicago Association. She's right there. Sherry Chris, in BHG. So, you know, she's always mentioned. And then, yeah, there's some other potentially like less well-known people as well. Right.
Right.
So there are some folks. And then from outside real estate, right? And this was something I wrote on my blog. So my personal choice to at least take a real close look at would be someone like Carly Fiorina.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She's unemployed. you know, obviously policy, you know, she's got, you know, some pretty significant networks there. It's going to be very powerful for lobbying. You know, obviously technology background. She's run very large organizations. Depending on who you ask, she's run them very, very poorly or she's run them well. So, you know, there's those types of things.
I would always say, I mean, you know, I'm from the MLS community. So I would think like, maybe there's a way of bridging things like the association MLS, we get an MLS exec
sure.
in it. Like they're, you know, you were saying who, you know, Chicago, Rebecca Jensen's in Chicago.
Rebecca right? Jensen. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a ton of,
yeah.
of women leaders in MLS that
Tessa Holtz is out in Raleigh. Right. Actually Andrea Bushnell, who is the North Carolina state CEO. I think she just won like the Lifetime Achievement Award for AEs. She'd be an excellent choice.
Right.
No, there's a deep bench. Obviously, like some of the younger women leaders, I don't think they're just because of their age. I doubt they're going to get a real close look. Yeah, I do feel like CEO job. I mean, look, if NAR were the type of organization that would hire a 40-something female CEO, you know, maybe some of the other issues that we talk about, you know, wouldn't be as big a problem, right? If they were that risk, like, if they were that open to risk and. But I get the feeling it's probably going to be, you know, somewhere in their 50s, right?
Right.
And from that standpoint, there's a really deep bench. So I hope that the selection committee will take a look at it. I hope they'll, you know, make the right choice. Because whoever it is, you know, there's going to be some crap coming down the road, right? Some really big challenges.
What do you think that person's, like their first 100 days, you know, that's always a thing about in a new leader. What do you think like in that first 100 days, what are the main things that you think that they have to focus on?
The NAR CEO?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little different, right? It's not like a presidency,
right?
Where the idea of the first 100 days is you're brand new in office and you have the most political capital, like right in the first 100 days before you've gotten into a bunch of fights and, you know, used them up. I don't feel like the NARC is the same way. So I feel like that's more of a, you know, there's no 4-year term, right? There's no midterm elections. They're just in that job until
they get fired.
Until they get fired, yeah, or until they retire or move on.
The contract's out, yeah.
So I would say for like any normal sort of corporate CEO job, the first 100 days, they really need to understand the company. They need to understand the organization. Even if you're coming up from the inside. Even if it's Bob, like, and he knows that organization inside and out, I do feel like there's a difference between being CEO and being SVP, right? So I'd say a lot of the first 100 days is going to have to be sort of figure out the organization. But the other really, really important thing, I think you're going to need to come up with a strategy for dealing with all of the different challenges, right? Hitting organized real estate. The biggest one is obviously something like the impact of technology on the MLS and the association. And, you know, like some of my ideas that I've advocated is separation of the MLS and the association. Who knows whether that's the right idea or not. I think it's the right idea, but we can argue it. But it would be things like that. Like, what do you do about, you know, the continuing importance of the internet? What do you do about that? What do you do about, go through the danger report, right? You know, the number one problem, the danger report was masses of marginal agents destroy reputations. Well, most of those marginal agents are card-carrying, dues-paying realtors. So if you're the CEO, you have to come up with something. You've got to figure out, what is my strategy for dealing with this, for answering these big challenges? And then add on top of that, we have a whole new administration that is unpredictable, that no one expected would happen. So if you're NAR, you are the housing lobby, right? You're the leader of the housing lobby. How are you going to deal with it? Like, what's your response? Are you going to resist? Are you going to cooperate? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that. I mean, still the advocacy is like number one for
it
those
is
guys,
number
right?
one.
So it's going to be, somebody's got to be very savvy at, you know, as you say, kind of tippy-toeing through that minefield that is that new administration, that they have no clue, is no idea how that's going to happen, right? So that's just got to be.
And you know what's the other thing that sort of doesn't get talked about as much, I think, is a lot of the lobbying, a lot of the government advocacy efforts are dependent on personal relationships between the lobby, in other words, the government affairs director and somebody, you know, at the government side.
Right.
And a lot of it, I think, are these, I mean, staffers, I guess, you know, in other words, like, quote, bureaucrats, right? They're not the representative or the senator who may be, you know, gone. It's more somebody at HUD, you know, somebody at a regulatory agency who's going to be there for 10, 15, 20 years through, you know, changes in administration. One of the weird things about the Trump administration coming in, is that a lot of those career government people are talking about getting out. Like, they don't want to work.
They just don't want to be in that environment.
They don't want to be in that environment. Right. And certainly Trump and his people don't want them in that environment. I mean, they ran on a platform of hostility to that, right? Remember the whole drain the swamp thing. So it could be one of the biggest challenges, that some of those relationships that NAR people have built up over years, those people may no longer be there. Then what do you do?
Yeah.
You got to rebuild all
of those.
That's
why you need strong leadership that knows what they're doing.
Right? So what you're saying, Greg, is that a woman can't provide strong leadership?
I'm not saying gender. I never gender didn't enter my discussion at all, man. You guys are the ones with a hashtag. And I mean, girl boss. I mean, I'm not sure if anybody's, you know, comfortable with that, you know, term anyway.
Look, what I understand from the people who came up with it is that there's an actual like book. Apparently, it's like a real thing, you know. So it's this, like, the hashtag girl boss apparently is like a real trending hashtag out there. So
like girl power.
Yeah, like I guess, you know, and not being a girl, you know, like I'll just go along with whatever they tell me, you know. All I can do is support, right? All I can do is support. I can't run. So.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I think, you know, every year it's always something, you know, new, right? I mean, I'm just glad we're not talking about syndication anymore, right? So this is.
I don't know about you, but just yesterday we're talking about syndication. So,
oh, jeez.
You know, it's funny.
I'm out of those conversations.
I know, right?
Thank you.
What's funny about our industry, as you know, is like there's always something new.
Yeah.
But we always talk about the same thing over and over and over and over again until we have literally beat it to death. And I don't know when that point's going to be.
Yeah.
IDX, like, are we done talking about IDX, or are we still going to talk about that some more and beat that to death?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think organized real estate, it's just weird. I feel like we're at a crossroads. We'll see what the future brings, but the leadership change, I think, is going to be a really big deal. Some of the challenge will be a big deal. Obviously, the whole, you know, change in the overall political dynamic is a big deal. I mean, this year, mid-year this year is going to be kind of interesting, right? I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be fun.
Stuff,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting one to see.
Well, everybody, get ready for the Trumpening.
It's happening.
It's happening. All right. This has been Rob and Greg, and this has been the Industry Relations Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.